This is John Walden. I'd like you to join me in a Bible study on a subject very close to the hearts of many people today. A question that's asked by a great many, why do I not have assurance? Why can't I be sure like some Christians seem to be? Now, if you've never asked this question, chances are you're not very concerned about spiritual things anyway. Just stay with me for the next 10 minutes or so, and let's see if we can't show you how wonderful it is, how necessary it is to have this assurance. We read in Hebrews 10 and verse 22, "Let us draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith." Now, there is such a thing as the full assurance. One of the favorite Christian hymns is "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." Assurance is a wonderful thing. We need assurance in every line. We like to be sure about our financial status. We like to be sure about the friendship of those who claim to love us. We like to be sure of our job, and we want to be sure about our possessions. How much more necessary to be sure about our spiritual relationships, about peace with God, about a home in the next world. Now, someone's going to be offended by this, I'm afraid, but I just have to say it to you. Some of you are wrong in looking for assurance. You have no reason to be assured at all. Oh, I know you've been looking for assurance, and I know you've gotten a measure of assurance. The preacher, perhaps, or the church, or the devil himself has given you some kind of false assurance. I know a lady was very concerned about spiritual matters. She had never received Christ as her Savior. She had nothing but church membership from her babyhood up. And when she spoke to her pastor about it, he said, now, don't let anything like that disturb you. Just go home and forget about it. Isn't that a terrible thing to tell anybody? Instead of inquiring into her spiritual state, well, thank the Lord she didn't do that. She went to her Bible and found out that she never had been born again at all. And if you have never received Christ as your Savior, there isn't a thing in the world to give you assurance. You can't turn to the Scriptures. You can't turn to anything that the Lord has said. You have no right to assurance at all. And if you don't have it, thank God you don't have any, because if you did get an assurance, it would be a false one, and you'd just be lulled back to sleep. What a terrible awakening to die and find out that you're not right with God. Now, good works can never give us assurance. I believe in good works. Certainly I do. But not for salvation. And no matter how much you have done in the way of good works, you will never have any assurance, because you will never be sure that you've done enough. And there's no scripture to assure you that if you do these good works, then you'll be right with God. That's looking to the wrong place. And you'll never find peace by looking inside. Your feelings will never give you real peace. That's like dropping the anchor down inside the ship. That won't hold the ship. You've got to drop the anchor outside the ship. You've got to get this anchor for the soul inside the veil, not inside your heart. Assurance will never come because of your feelings. After all, you don't try to feel that your title to your home is good. You have it examined. You don't try to feel that you own that automobile. Some people feel like they have a right to other people's automobiles, and that's how they end up in jail. You don't want to feel that you're married. You want to know that you're married. You want to have papers for this. You want to be sure that they're properly registered. Why shouldn't you want to know some way besides just your feelings? Not once in Scripture does God ever associate feelings with assurance. Now, you're also looking the wrong place if you look to the church, for the church has no authority to give you assurance. The authority must be entirely in God's Word. If the church, if your preacher, if Christian people turn you to the Bible, that's wonderful. But if they tell you, well, our church says so-and-so, or I think so-and-so, you have no more assurance than you had before. The full assurance of faith. In Colossians 2 and 2, he calls it the assurance of understanding. That is, by the word of God. Now, here's the way to get the full assurance of faith. First of all, when you come to the word of God, you must recognize that it is God's word. You must be willing to rest your soul upon the bare word of God. You must be willing to take the word of God for it. And I found a good way to apply this to myself is simply to put my own name into the verse in question. When I read, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, I get a great deal more good out of it by saying, for God so loved John Walden, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means me, that if John Walden believes in him, he'll not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord is addressing this to you personally. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. If you're one of those who is willing to put your trust in the Lord Jesus, to take him as the all-sufficient Savior who loved you and died in your place, God gives you the right to say that you're his child. As many as received him, to them gave he the right, the authority, to become the children of God. And he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. In the letter to the Thessalonians, the first chapter, in verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, our gospel came unto you in much assurance. And that's the way the gospel ought to come to every person. The assurance that we have is through the gospel, through the word of God. Now, if you have believed the gospel story, first of all, of course, he wants you to believe the truth about yourself, that you've sinned against God and that you cannot save yourself, that your condition is a hopeless one apart from the work of Christ for you, and you're willing to trust your soul to what Christ has done for you on the cross. He says, by grace are ye saved through faith. Who says that we're saved? Why, God says it. Is that enough? If I were to appear before a certain judge, and that judge said to me, I have taken up your case, and I assure you that tomorrow when you appear in my court, it will be a mere formality. I have already decided that you will be set free. And that man's a man of his word. Do you think I'd lose any sleep that night? And the word of God assures me that my sins are forgiven, not that they might be forgiven after I die. He assures me that I have eternal life as a present possession, not that I hope to get it someday in the bright future, but that I do have eternal life at this moment. Now, this is no credit to me, because I have no assurance because of my own actions or my own worthiness, but because Christ has taken my place. In Hebrews 6 and verse 11, he says, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. The full assurance of hope, as well as the full assurance of faith. Now, faith is taking God at his word. Hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised to do. He says we are saved by grace through faith. He says also that we are saved by hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? There are some things that I have not yet seen. But I have perfect hope. This is not that I say, well, I hope it's so. That word probably should be wish. But hope in the Bible is not a wishful thinking, but an assurance based on what God has said. So that a Christian can say, I'm looking for the Lord Jesus to come back because he promised to come. And I expect him to take me home to heaven because he promised to do so. And I expect to have a happy eternity with the Lord because he promised me this. He didn't promise it to me on the proviso that I am worthy of it. He promised it. He gave it to me as a free gift. He says the gift of God is eternal life. Now don't change that. Don't make it dependent upon your own good works. You'll never get any assurance that way. People who believe that they are saved partly by their own works never have any real assurance. My grandfather was a member of a certain church for 60 years and never had any assurance at all that he was going to be in heaven. And at the age of 82, he received the Lord Jesus as his own Savior, and the last 6 years of his life were most happy as he had complete assurance that the Lord had given him eternal life and that he had a home in heaven awaiting him. And he knew he was no more worthy of it the last 6 years of his life than he was the first 82. Oh, I tell you, friends, it's a wonderful thing to have the assurance that God gives. And as believers, we can draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. That's why I can call God my Father. It isn't that I just feel that He's my Father. It isn't that I think that I'm so good and so worthy that He just has to be my Father. But as a sinner, I came to the Lord Jesus and received Him as my own, and I'm taking His word for it. Now, you'll find this is a wonderful, restful bed upon which you can recline and really rest. Will you trust Him? Let's give Him thanks. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for Thy Son, that He suffered and died in our place to put our sins away. We thank Thee that Thy Word tells us that when we trust Him, all is well for eternity. Bless those who have just listened, we pray, in our Savior's name. Amen.